This is Second Look, only on 103.3 WZND. Here to take a second look at the stories the WZND Newsroom has covered this week. Investigative reporting from the award-winning WZND News Team, here for you. Unbiased, engaging, and comprehensive. Second Look starts now.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Second Look, the show where we take an in-depth second look at last week's stories. I'm Luke Biondi.
And I'm Joey Delahunty. Today, we'll be looking at the Graduate Students Union fight for higher wages, the upcoming Illinois primary elections, and we'll wrap the show up with an interview from legendary ISU professor Tom LaMonica.
ISU doctoral candidate Stephen Lazaroff has been fighting for years for better pay and working conditions for people enrolled in graduate programs at ISU. Lazaroff, who currently instructs three classes at ISU, says that graduate workers do not get paid enough for the work they do for the university, and at the time of the interview, he was in the negotiation process of drafting a new contract. WZND's Joey Delahunty has the inside scoop on this exclusive story.
Well, let's get right to it. What can you tell me about this new contract y'all are voting about?
So, what I would want us to, I guess, lead with is the fact that right around 70% of grad workers are going to be receiving a raise of about 10%. And also, with that 10%, it's going to be backdated to August of this year. So they're going to get back pay in the amount of about a little less than $1,000. So this contract definitely has shown some gains there for a large chunk of people. And then on the universal end of things, in terms of what applies to everyone and the benefits that apply to everyone that we kind of got some increases on were the student fees. We won fee reductions of 15% this semester, increase of 5%, so 15% this semester, and 25% in the fall 2024. And then, so it's going to move to 30% in fall 2025. So we feel good about the arc that we're on to eliminate those fees in the near future.
Y'all are currently voting on these contracts, right?
Yeah. Voting began last Friday. It's going to go through this Friday.
How does that voting process work for your members?
Basically, they receive an email, and if they're a member, because only members can vote, and they're going to receive an email, and they're going to receive a link to the electronic voting, and they're going to have a very simple two-response question to ratify the contract or to go on strike.
Lovely. So what can you tell me about how y'all came to this agreement? Because I know last time I spoke to you, you were less satisfied with where the university view.
Right. I wouldn't say that I'm satisfied, quite frankly. I would say that I, like a lot of folks, am tired. And, we've been working really hard on this contract, and we're proud of the work we did. And does it have everything that we need and want in it? No, it doesn't. But it helps a large percentage of people while also giving wins to everyone. Those were two big concerns for us, to have wins for everyone as well as gains for the people that are hurting the most. And that is the majority of our units, at the minimum.
Other things from last time we spoke, you were telling me about how the university has been a bit stubborn in negotiations. Has that changed at all?
Oh, no. Nope. They're always, intractable in their negotiations. I mean, they respond to one thing, really, and that is power. And they respond to power being exerted outside of that negotiation room. There's no, good point I can make, or there's no good point anybody can make in that room where the other side is going to say, oh, you know what? We do have that money. It's unfortunately not how it goes. The university has to be pressured and shamed into doing the right thing, which is what they did the first time around with our contract. We had to pressure them and shame them into some fairly substantial wins for us at that time.
So at this point, the process of this union and these negotiations has been going around for around a year, right?
Yeah, just about a year. March of this past year, March 13th, I believe.
How do you feel about what we all gotten done in that time?
I feel very proud of the work we did together. We were not compensated, right, for this work that we do. And that's a big difference between, our team and the university's team, right? They're paid to be there in the amount of just over $1 million, I believe. That's how much the cumulative wages for the other side is. And for us, of course, we're there in our free time, which isn't free, of course. But that's the time we have to use, the time that we're not working. and it is a form of work, of course. So it is tiring, as you might imagine. I'm talking about folks who are dramatically underpaid and live in a great deal of financial insecurity. That affects everything, right? That affects rent, that affects food, that affects health and health care. It all ripples out from the low wages. And is this contract going to end the poverty wages? No, it's not. But it's going to bring some nice increases to people's lives, right? And make them a little bit easier, which is the tough work of negotiating a contract. Because this is an uphill battle for us. It's an uneven playing field. The university has a wealth of resources, like I just described. So it's an uphill battle. And so we have our backs up against the wall, and we're very proud of the work we've done.
So an update on that story is as of this Friday, March 1st, the union has ratified the contract overwhelmingly, and it has gone into effect as of March 1st, 2024.
Yeah, and I'm really glad to hear that because graduate students play such a vital role in any university. ISU is more of an undergraduate-focused university, which has its benefits, but undoubtedly, graduate students still have their role in just leading the research, and they're responsible for a lot of the reputation of a given university. So I do think I am glad that they're making progress in their work because some of the situations that they're put in where they're doing so much research, you know, they're instructing classes, it can feel a bit exploitive.
Right. And if they had been made to go on strike, I mean, can you imagine how much would have to shut down at the university?
Exactly.
They do so much.
So vital to the function. With primary elections coming up in the next few months, it is as important as ever to stay educated on the local politicians and their policies. The WZND news team has worked to compile a few of the most prominent Bloomington Normal politicians' platforms for this upcoming election season.
Okay, sounds good. So I don't know how much of this you can speak to, but what do the responsibilities of a representative look like?
Well, they often involve constituent services, okay? Let's say that someone is wanting to... They're having problems with the, you know, Illinois Department of Children and Family Services, or they're having problems with the Illinois Department of Public Health, or they're having an issue with the Illinois State Police, you know, in regards to getting their FOID card or getting their concealed carry card. You know, a lot of times a state representative can step in. He can't do favors, but what he can do is work the proper channels and ask the proper questions to see, you know, what is the individual possibly doing wrong? What can the individual improve on? Or alternatively, what is the individual doing right? And he's not getting the proper response from the state agency. So, you know, I mean, that's one thing that a lawyer, which I am an attorney, has a lot of experience doing, is that generally people don't come to an attorney when everything's going well. They generally come to an attorney when there's an issue or a problem. And lawyers specialize at trying to solve problems. And I think a state representative can do that for his constituents while in the state house. That's one thing he can do. The other thing he can do is he can educate the citizens of the district, you know, of what issues are pending in the state legislature, what issues are of importance to them, and what issues they may want to become involved in, you know, with talking to their state rep or talking to other state reps and state senators about, you know, hey, that's not a good bill. That's not good legislation. We need to amend that. We need to make changes to it because, you know, when you do pass a law, you want to make sure that it is something that will work for the people.
That's the story.
Sorry to have to ask it. What exactly is it that the county board does, like, day to day?
Well, we are the legislative body for the county. We approve the budget and many other things that come up. We support the sheriff's office. We have the jail is under our jurisdiction. And then we also have the McLean County Recorder's Office, which is the elections and the recording of property, and we oversee that. And then we oversee the courts in McLean County.
We'll return after a quick break in which we'll discuss local developments that have occurred in the last week here in Bloomington-Normal area, as well as local sports results and an interview with ISU's Professor Tom LaMonica. Welcome back to Second Look on WZND. In case you missed it so far, we've talked about the Graduate Workers Union potential deal and the upcoming primary election.
At the recent Bloomington City Council meeting, Mayor Mboka Mwamwe recognized Donovan McIntyre, a Bloomington firefighter who just completed a one-year probationary period and is now getting back to firefighting. Fire Chief Corey Matheny spoke about looking forward to the rest of McIntyre's career. Bloomington residents also voiced concerns over the homeless community off Oakland Road.
Last Thursday, ISU held their fourth and final open forum as part of the search for the new university president. The final candidate is Valerio Ferme, the current executive vice president for academic affairs and provost at the University of Cincinnati. Ferme's remarks had a large focus on the importance of fundraising and his experience in that field.
After two apartment fires in town in February, the Bloomington Fire Department wants more awareness of fire safety in the community. Public Information Officer Frank Friend stressed the importance of working smoke detectors, fire extinguishers, and renters insurance. There was another house fire on Linden Street early this morning, but due to their smoke detectors, the residents were woken up and nobody was hurt.
Heartland Community College has received funds to renovate their Veterans Center from Heartland Foundation Director Mary Penn and her husband. The center helps serve veterans on campus and helps with student engagement and charity drives. Thanks to their donation, the new center will be named after the Penn family.
In local sports, yesterday, ISU's baseball team defeated Arkansas Pine Bluff 5-0, with softball losing 0-2 in their matchup against Loyola. Tomorrow, softball will match up at noon against Creighton, followed by a men's basketball game against Valpo starting at 1.
Illinois State School of Comm Professor Tom LaMonica has done just about everything in the realm of Illinois State athletics. This man was arranging press conferences when Larry Bird came to play in Normal decades ago. He has no shortage of experience and stories, and inspires students daily since retiring from athletics and becoming a full-time educator. On Thursday's episode of Red Zone, Braden Fogerson and Ben Huddy sat down with Tom to talk Missouri Valley Conference, Redbird basketball, and his new admittance into the MVC Hall of Fame.
Still here on the Red Zone podcast with ISU Professor Tom LaMonica. Now, Tom, another important part of these conference tournaments, as I remember last year doing the women's tournament, is networking. You get a lot of students coming up and covering it, say, for WZND and other media sources that get this opportunity to meet a bunch of people that are in this professional sports world, you know, yeah. Handing out resumes. What does that mean to give that opportunity to these people?
Well, I enjoy a little bit of that myself. But for example, when I worked the women's tournament, my partner we provide game notes and thoughts and ideas and statistics and things like that to the broadcast teams that are doing the game. And my partner in doing that is a gentleman named Chuck Schaffner. Chuck Schaffner is the retired Associated Press editor for the state of Iowa. And he's a guy, a really experienced guy who likes to talk to young people, likes to talk to young journalists about starting out in their career. And we have people around that are like that, that are part of the tournament that people can network with, whether it's coaches, whether it's media, whether it's even fans sometimes.
What do you think it would mean for this community if one of these teams were able to make a run in the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament, whether it's men's or women's?
Well, I think when you say make a run, I think the first thing they do is, I've been in this situation where you're in St. Louis, and I will get there the Wednesday before the game start. You're in St. Louis, and your team wins on Thursday, your team wins on Friday. Now, all of a sudden, the traffic is backed up, you know, halfway to normal because the fans are jumping in their cars and going down to St. Louis and say, I'm going to get us to the finals and I'm going to stay for the championship game. So when your team makes a run, whether it's Illinois State or any school, then the fans get caught up in that and they come to St. Louis. And the best thing that happens with that is they have a good time in St. Louis. And a lot of them turn around and say, you know, next year we're going to come on Thursday or Friday and stay for the whole thing.
To bring it back to you, Tom, obviously you're getting honored for the Missouri Valley Hall of Fame. And, you know, could you just take us to start before we get into anything else? Just take us through what positions you've had, where, you know, I know, for example, where you started and things like that, but what all have you done in terms of having jobs and doing work for the Valley?
Yes. Well, so the first, my first experience with the Valley was when I first got to Illinois State, and we were an independent school at the time. We did not have a conference affiliation, but we were trying to get into the Missouri Valley. And in fact, I took the job here banking on the fact that we would get into the Missouri Valley. I thought it was the right conference for Illinois State at the time. And in 30 plus years, my mind has not changed. So that was my first experience with the Missouri Valley. I didn't know a lot about Illinois State when I got here, but I learned a lot about Illinois State and its programs because we had, in those days, you had to produce a big pile of documents to get into the Missouri Valley Conference or pretty much any conference. And I was charged with editing those documents. And while I read those documents, I learned things like, you know, the history of our women's swimming program and just the whole analysis of the program itself and of the school and how it felt about athletics. And it made me more energized. And when we got into the Missouri Valley in June of 1980, just a few months after I got here, it was a big day. And it's paid dividends for us since then. I've never had, well, not never. In the last 30 years or so, I have never had somebody come up to me and say, we should be in a different conference. And that says a lot about the Valley. It also says a lot about what Illinois State has brought to the Valley.
So what does it mean to you then to be able to get this honor? It seems like you're deeply rooted in Illinois State. You're deeply rooted in the Missouri Valley Conference.
You guys are sharp young guys, and you really know how to turn a phrase and write a phrase. And when you can come up with a way for me to quantify that, I'd be happy to use your your words. But it's still kind of surreal to me. I still keep thinking, you know, they're really, we're talking to somebody else. Because I never had this expectation at all. I spent my career in sports trying to get other people, student athletes, coaches, teams, recognized and respected and get them honored and awarded. For me, I have no ability to deal with that myself. You can tell I'm kind of struggling right now. But I think it means a lot to my family, and it means a lot to my friends and my former students. For me, the best part of it is this. I've heard from more than 400 former students and former colleagues since this was announced. And that means a lot to me. That's what means everything to me, is the ability to connect with them and find out what they're doing. And, you know, just that connection. The connection's big.
So what's next for you in terms of, you know, your job right now is working, you know, here in Fell Hall with the School of Communication. Is that kind of, you know, are you thinking about doing anything else? Is there anything that you have planned for your future? Is this just where you like to be right now?
I'm one of those fortunate few who works because he wants to, not because he has to. When I retired from athletics in 2006, I was able to become part of the pension system in the state of Illinois. And what I get, my compensation from the School of Communication is very small because there's legal limits on what you can earn if you're drawing a state pension. And I don't care about any of that. I mean, my wife and I are comfortable. We're happy. We're able to contribute to causes that we care about. And so it's more like I'm doing this because I love to do it. And I want to keep doing it because I love to do it. And the sports communication major, which could be coming on board as soon as 2025. That's an exciting thing to me because you guys both know I'm very passionate about sports and people being able to work in sports. And this will be a really good opportunity for a lot of students that come through Illinois State to be able to connect with our alums who are working in sports or have worked in sports, to connect with current professionals. I'm very excited. Dr. Joe Blaney is the man who has carried the heavy lifting on this. Our interim executive director, Dr. Amy Miller-Ott, has had a lot to do with this. And the provost office, the president, it's been a process. And now future Redbirds are going to be able to study sport communication and build careers from that. And that, to me, that's the exciting future for me.
And so do you, what is your place in that in terms of that major? Do you plan on?
Well, I hope to continue teaching in it. And whatever other programs that we put together to connect our students with the world of sports on the outside, I want to be involved in that too. There's no set plan just yet, but I know Dr. Blaney has a lot of ideas. I have some ideas, and we're going to see what happens once we get the ball rolling here. But we have a lot of resources and a lot of opportunities.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Second Look. Today, we discussed the Graduate Student Union's fight for higher wages and the upcoming Illinois primary elections. We wrapped up the show with an interview from legendary ISU professor Tom LaMonica. I'm Luke Biondi.
And I'm Joey Delahunty.